Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
For over 10 years, VOC Nation has taken listeners behind the scenes of the greatest moments in pro wrestling history. Our hosts are not only experts on the business, but have lived in the business. Subscribe and hear weekly podcasts from hosts like legendary pro wrestling journalist Bill Apter, former Impact Wrestling star Wes Briscoe, former WWE and AWA broadcaster Ken Resnick, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, former WCW star The Maestro, NWA legend The Raging Bull, Manny Fernandez, and much more. VOC Nation programming is free on most major podcasting apps, including iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And video podcast and bonus content is available on Patreon for as low as $3 a month. What are you waiting for? Head to VOCNation.com and dig into the most comprehensive podcast network built for pro wrestling fans. Find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOC Nation Wrestling Network and follow us on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Welcome, everyone, to WCW Retro. I'm your host for the evening, Papa Stro, the Maestro of Wrestling. Great to be here with you guys once again. Lots to talk about tonight. Oh, my goodness. Well, first off, welcome to WCW Retro. As I said earlier before, it's a place to be where we talk about past, present, future professional wrestling, plus so much more. You never know who's going to call in, tap the funds, Wild Wild West the podcast right here. WCW Retro on VOCNation.com. And there's a lot to talk about tonight. Tonight's big topic is what if. So if you have a favorite what if scenario situation in wrestling history that you would like to share of your choosing, call in anytime during tonight's live WCW Retro podcast at 914-338-1885. Once again, that number is 914-338-1885. And before we get to talking What If with you guys tonight, I'd like to make a few announcements, if you will, and shout-outs. First off, shout-outs to Masters of Ring Entertainment, mastersofringentertainment.com, Fishing with Special Friends at fishingwithspecialfriends.com, Innovative Hybrid Wrestling, the Maritimes area in Canada. Find out what they're up to at facebook.com/IHWWrestling. Enjoy all the podcasts we got here on VOCNation.com. For example, In the Room every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Wrestling with History every Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Of course, WCW Retro every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And enjoy all the great podcasts we got going at VOCNation.com. Just go to VOCNation.com for the dates and times of your respected and favorite VOC Nation podcast. And support us on Pro Wrestling Tees at ProWrestlingTees.com/VOCNation. And get your favorite VOC Nation t-shirt today, including one of WCW Retro and one of yours truly, Papa Stro, the Four Faces of Stro. And thank you, as always, for your support for VOCNation.com. And if you would like to make a donation to yours truly, buy me a cup of coffee, tips, etc. And thank you for those who have already donated. But if you'd like to donate to me, send it my PayPal at paypal.me/PapaStro. And all together, that's paypal.me/PapaStro. And thank you in advance for your support. And I do have Papa Stro merch currently on sale, and currently the month of Papa Ween in October, all ages including pets. Get your Papa Ween merch today at thestro.com/merchandise. That's thestro.com/merchandise. thestro.com/merchandise. And get your Papa Ween merch today before it's gone. So act now. I'm currently accepting bookings for the cast. You like to cast me for your television or film, commercial endorsements, have me for your Comic-Con event, convention, seminars, voiceover commentary, charity functions, interviews, radio, autograph signings, what have you. I do a lot these days. So if you'd like to book yours truly, hit me up. Strofoya, S-T-R-O, number 4-Y-A, at yahoo.com. Strofoya at yahoo.com. Let's talk business. And if you'd like to be a special guest on an upcoming episode of WCW Retro, hit me up at WCWRetro@yahoo.com. Let's get you some exposure, if you will, right here on WCW Retro. And for my social media roundup, my official website is thestro.com, T-H-E-S-T-R-O.com. Facebook at Stro the Maestro. Instagram at Stro Maestro. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, guys, at youtube.com/StroMaestro. I'm also on Twitch at twitch.tv/RealPumpaStro as well. But any social media you see me on, add me as a friend, stay in touch. I'm everywhere these days. And tomorrow night on my sci-fi horror show, The Stro Zone, at my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro, at midnight Eastern Standard Time, the feature will be The Wolfman from back in the day. So please tune in for that. Next weekend, the 30th, I'll be at the premiere of an upcoming film that I'm starring in, called The Devil's Daughter, A Harlequin Origin Story. And in this film, my star is Dr. Jeremy Arkham. And lots of Harlequin Batman characters in it. Of course, it's a Harlequin Origin Story. But proceeds of that premiere will be, and the film itself will be going to Gracious Hands, who helps people with that deal with domestic violence. So, for more information on the premiere and how you can get tickets to the premiere, it'll be at the Golden Ticket Cinemas Twin in Lenoir, North Carolina, next Saturday night, I believe, of the 30th of October, Halloween weekend. For more information on that, go to facebook.com/RealDevil's Daughter. That's facebook.com/RealDevil's Daughter. And with that, we'll take our first commercial break, and when we come back, we'll be talking What If right here on WCW Retro. And leading our commercial, let's see what we can play here for you guys. All right. Oh, goodness. Okay, let's play some Lex Luger. And when we get back, we'll talk What If. Be back in a minute, folks. Stick with us.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Since 2018, there's only been one program that brings you artists from around the world, both big and small, brings you the best in local talent, and hosts live events. Rock and Roll Union is all of that and more. With CT McManus, the Lovely D, and new co-host Psycho Steve Preston, you're sure to get everything you need. So tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for your one-stop shop for all things rock and roll. Rock and Roll Union, music worth fighting for.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cassie Fitz, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Can Resume.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Steins of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation Worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirtz. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirtz, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Dangerous Danny Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more. We've excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com. Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out. VOCNation.com. WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to WCW Retro. Papa Stro here, man. Great to have you with us as always. Tonight's big topic is what if. So if you have your favorite what if scenario situation in wrestling history you'd like to share, please call in. 914-338-1885. Once again, that number is 914-338-1885. And before we get to talking what if tonight, just like to acknowledge about the Crown Jewel event that took place today, actually, for WWE. A great card, I got to admit, a great card. Great wrestling in itself. We didn't really see any dramatic title changes and all, but I mean, all the great matches and some solid ones. That we did have, however, a new king of the ring and new queen, actually. Savio Vega is won the Queen's Crown tournament over Doudrop, and Xavier Woods is now the new king of the ring as he defeated Finn Balor in the finals. Both solid matches. And the women's title match with Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair was as solid as they come. Great job by all the ladies. A solid match with Big E and Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. And the main event, solid as well. Roman Reigns retaining block of a Brock Lesnar. And a tremendous Hell in a Cell match with Edge and Seth Rollins. Probably, as some would say, up for match of the year. No doubt. Those guys are a solid performance for sure. But, yeah, all in all, it was a great card. I enjoyed it. Watching it. And I'm looking forward to SmackDown tomorrow. And it'll be like the return of Charlotte Flair to the SmackDown brand tomorrow as well. So looking forward to checking that out. As well as, I think, Rampage. AEW Rampage is tomorrow. And then AEW Dynamite is Saturday. Looking for that. Looking forward to that as well. Once again tonight, we'll be talking what if scenarios and situations throughout wrestling history. And if you'd like to share your what if story with us, call in 914-338-1885. Once again, the number is 914-338-1885. And let's see what you got. See what your what ifs are. For sure. I'll give you one, for example. What if, just to get your feet wet into the what if topic, what if The Undertaker ended up being the NWA World Heavyweight Champion? Could that have been possible? I'm sure there was a few times in wrestling history where that almost could have happened, actually. But can you imagine that dynamic? The Undertaker being the NWA World Heavyweight Champion. Something to think about. For sure. But I'd love to hear your what-if topics. Once again, that number to call in tonight is 914-338-1885. Let's get your feedback on that as well. We'll be taking another commercial break. And when we come back, we'll be talking more what ifs with you guys. So stick with us.
This is the Swister, the Doctor of Style, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fitz, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
On Wrestling with Problems, we deal with two things, wrestling and problems. On the wrestling side, we cover the major feds as well as the indies. As far as problems go, we cover our problems, American problems, and world problems. Sometimes the problems are even related to wrestling. Every week, comedian King David Lane and wrestler, promoter Chris Best discuss the best and especially the worst in the world of wrestling with a heaping dose of comedy. Check us out live on VOCNation.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Steins of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Welcome back to WCW Retro. Pat Pastro here, and tonight we're talking what if. So if you'd like to give your what if, your favorite what if scenario situation in wrestling history, call in tonight anytime. 914-338-1885. Once again, the number is 914-338-1885. And let's begin, shall we? Okay, let's go to, I believe this is Mr. Hollywood. Mr. Hollywood, welcome back to WCW Retro, brother. How you doing?
How you doing, Papa Stro Maestro? How you doing? You doing okay?
Great, man. Welcome back to the show. Yeah, tonight we're talking what if, man. You have any favorite what if scenarios you'd like to share with us of your choosing?
I'll tell you what. I'm thinking like the Undertaker, man, the NWA champion. Wouldn't that have been something?
Yeah. Yeah, I mentioned earlier there was a couple times in history that may very well could have happened.
Wow.
And it could still happen, actually, if you think about it.
Wow. Is he still a wrestler?
Well, actually, he made an appearance in Saudi Arabia around that area right before Crown. I think it was last night. He introduced Pitbull in the concert there.
Wow. Wow. He's got to be amazing.
And full Undertaker garb, too. So.
Wow. That's incredible. That's incredible. I mean, you know, that would be something to see Undertaker as the NWA World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah. That'd be amazing.
Yeah.
Be amazing.
What about Ronnie Garvin as the WWE champion? WWF champion.
You know, that's an interesting situation in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had those series of matches with Greg the Hammer Valentine there in WWE years back, and You know, if we would have the opportunity, can you imagine him going against the Hulk Hogan for WWE check? Wow.
Wow, that would have been something. Ronnie Garvin hands or something against the Hulk Hogan. I think that would have been a good matchup, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Ronnie Garvin and Hulk Hogan? Oh, man.
I'm really surprised we never got that, honestly, because, I mean, that would definitely have been solid.
I'm saying I think that would probably have been a match for the ages. You know what I mean, a match for the ages.
Oh, absolutely. Because you know, Ronnie Garvin, and I mean, I thought he could go with the best of them, honestly.
At that time. I mean, he's a tough customer. I mean, he's really a tough customer. I mean, Ronnie Garvin, he was no joke. By no means.
Right. Yeah, and in the words of J.R. Jim Ross, he's tougher than $2 steak.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, like I said, that's good, like the knockout, like the chops. We used to do like those chops. Cause I know, like when he was in Nashville, Ric Flair, like when he would do those chops. He would do those chops on Flair. I mean, you could hear it.
Oh yeah, I mean, I got to test from being in the ring with him. I got to test. I mean, he hits hard. Garvin does.
It sounds like it too.
Yes. That's the name Hands of Stone, right? Ronnie Garvin.
Hands of Stone. Ronnie Garvin. I tell you. Yeah, that was just something. You know, Ronnie Garvin, WWF champion. Wow.
Yeah. You know, another possibility, if you think about it, was can you imagine if Butch Reed had that opportunity to face Hogan for the title and become champion?
Oh yeah, that'd been a what if. Yeah, you're right, because he's an incredible wrestler, Butch Reed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. I mean, I remember him. Yeah, that would have been a good what if. Him and Hogan. Yeah, that would have been a good what if.
And at the time, he could have been the world champion before Ron Simmons, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, you're right, exactly. You're right, because, yeah, you're absolutely right, because he was before Ron Simmons, right?
Yeah, Butch Reed, man, he was around a long time.
Yeah,
he feuded with Ric Flair for a while for the NWA World Championship back when he was in the Mid-South with Bill Watts, right? But like, as far as, you know, him winning the WWE Championship, you know, when Hulk Hogan was champion, well, you know, I don't think he had that chance, right? So, but if he did, can you imagine? I mean, that'd be tremendous.
It would have been, yeah, because I mean he's an incredible wrestler. I mean, like I said, he's one of my favorites. He's definitely one of my favorites.
I've told quite a few people that some of the best punchers in the business was Jerry Lawler, Bobby Eaton, Axel Butch Reed. Man, he was like my top three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I definitely agree with that. You're right. I totally agree with that.
I'm still trying to punch like Butch Reed, man. He's the biggest punch I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he was definitely, you know, Chris, one of my favorites. Yeah,
absolutely.
He had a lot of containers. I mean, like I said, that would definitely been a dream of the ages.
Right. We'll be in joint 312 area code. Welcome to WCW Retro.
Hey, Stro, it's Chaz. How are you?
Chaz,
oh,
brother, welcome
doing,
back, Chaz? Man. I missed it. How you doing,
How you doing?
I'm good. Happy to be back. Just had a little bit of a health scare recently, but nothing I can't handle.
Oh, man, praying for you, man. Yeah, so glad to have you back.
I appreciate it.
Hope you're all right.
Yeah, I'll be okay.
Yeah, tonight we're talking what if. And we're talking all kinds of crazy situations that could have happened or might have happened. in wrestling history, man. You
got a what if for you?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, here, I got a good what if for you. What if Vince McMahon Sr. would have turned superstar Billy Graham babyface? You would never have a Hulk Hogan.
You are absolutely I totally agree with you.
You know, that's really interesting. That could have changed the whole dynamic of a lot of things.
Well, you know, when Superstar was selling out Madison Square Garden, little known fact is that they used to change the audio on the film because he was getting cheered by 80% of the crowd.
Wow.
Right.
But Vince Sr. Had it set in stone. Back when Vince Sr. ran the show, he had it set in stone when you would win the title, when you would lose the title, and he didn't waver off the formula. But had he changed and listened to the crowd and turned superstar Billy Graham babyface and not had Backlund go over for the title, you don't have a Backlund. You don't have an Iron Sheik winning the title. And you sure as hell don't have a Hulk Hogan.
You're right. Yeah, you're right. I mean, he was a Hulk Hogan before Hulk Hogan.
The Madison Square Garden match would have been totally superstar Billy Graham and Iron Sheik instead, if that's where the situation is.
Oh, sure. Most definitely. Just an interesting little what if. You know, the other one is what if Buddy Rogers had beaten Ric Flair for the Nature Boy title?
Wow. Man, that would have been tough.
Oh, wow.
You know,
that was 2 out of 3 falls.
What if he didn't pass the torch, right?
Buddy was known for going into business for himself. That's how he got in trouble with Bruno. So, I mean, you know,
right.
what if Buddy doesn't do the job? Now what?
If that were to happen, we very well could have seen a Ricky Rhodes. Because remember, I think Dusty and Rick was talking about Rick wanting to be a Rhodes at one time. Because he idolized Dusty.
Old rambling Ricky Rhodes.
Yes.
But then again, you don't get a, you know, and here, to a lesser extent, you don't get a Buddy Landell. Because Buddy Landell was the latest one to, at that time, to use the Nature Boy moniker. And he and Flair had a series of matches, and Flair defeated him. And so Buddy, while he was still using the persona and using the gimmick, per se, never climbed to the heights that he probably could have. And Buddy was a hell of a worker.
And can you imagine if he kept him focused, and if he did, that would have changed everything. It would have changed the Horsemen and all that stuff.
Yeah. I'll give you guys one more, and then I'm going to back off and let everybody else talk. But what happens if Gino Hernandez doesn't get run in with the wrong crowd and actually gets elevated in the NWA like the plan was?
Oh, gosh. Man, he was on his way, too. Oh, my gosh.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was, especially after Kerry Von Erich proved to be less than reliable as champion.
Wow.
You know, Fritz wanted to have one more of his guys out there, and Gino would have been perfect.
Wow.
Oh, can you imagine?
I mean, in my opinion, Gino was the Horseman rolled into one.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah, I agree. He would definitely eventually have been the top guy somewhere.
Yeah, I think so.
Because he was.
I think so.
Oh, that's great.
So, those are my three what-ifs that came off the top of my head.
I was a big fan of him and Chris Adams when they were teaming together.
Oh, hell yeah. They brought nuclear heat to Texas. I mean, you know, it was back when the Von Erichs did. It was after the Birds left, and it was when the Von Erichs needed a new antagonist, per se, and they brought out Gino and Chris. You know, Gino and Chris, like I said, had they not been in world class, had they been in Crockett, they would have been challenging for the NWA World Tag Team Championship. No two ways about it.
Oh, absolutely. Totally. Gosh, they'd have been great champions.
The other what if for Mr. Hollywood is, what if
Vern
Gagne would beat Hogan what he was worth?
Wow. That's incredible.
you know?
Yeah, what if?
He's Hogan what
he's
worth, and Hogan doesn't go to the WWF, what if?
What if?
Heck, yeah, he could have saved AWA, you know? He could have saved AWA.
He probably could have saved the territory system. Because Vince went nuts and went roughshod, you know, picking up talent because he had Hogan carrying the ball for him, and that merchandise train was rolling. I mean, between T-shirts, headbands, vitamins,
all
kinds of stuff they were selling.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
And if that were the case, Bischoff would have never left. He never went to WCW. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
AWA is strong. You don't get Medusa Michelli leaving.
Wow.
There's Wonder Blaze.
Mm-mm.
Wow, that's something. Like I said, if Eric Bischoff would have never came to WCW, wow, what if? So if NWO would have never known it as we know it.
Nah, you wouldn't have had a WCW as you know it. Because Crockett would have had his own.
Right.
Would have kept his Mid-Atlantic territory, and the Grahams would have kept Florida, and Turner would have just been running the TBS TV show like he was for years and years. So it's interesting. I think when you're starting to talk about a what if show, it's interesting to note that each event kind of linked to another.
Right.
And if that were the case, Kurt Hennig and Scott Hall probably would still be in the AWA. They never went to WWE, and we never had a Razor Ramon or Mr. Perfect.
Scott Hall would have still been the American Starship along with Danny Spivey.
Had that Tom Selleck mustache.
First time I saw Scott Hall work, he was the American. He was at the Super Clash 1. He was the American Starship. I think he was Coyote, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
Yeah. Him and Dan Spivey were tag team partners.
Yes, they were.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes, they were.
He came from AWA, right?
Yeah, the first time I saw Scott work was that AWA-NWA Super Clash show. And he was in the undercard. And, you know, big guy. Didn't know much about him. Didn't know who he was, but... he could go.
Wow.
Guys, give me one second. I'll be right back. Give me one second.
Okay. That's pretty interesting.
You look at Scott Hall. It's amazing how Scott Hall has. It's amazing how Scott Hall how he evolved. I mean, from AWA to WWF to WCW.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I mean, he's been around a long time.
Yep. Exactly.
All right, I'm back. Sorry about that.
Yeah. It makes you wonder if there weren't a possibility maybe somewhere in there that somehow AWA and the WWE could have had a working relationship or something. Got past all the political beef, you know?
Well, The funny part, in my opinion, about that is that Vince Jr. didn't want the territory system. He didn't want any working relationships. He wanted the corner market, and he was going to succeed or fail.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you know, point, I think there was a story floating around that Senior pulled him off to the side at the Garden one night and said, Vinny, what the hell are you doing? These guys are connected with the mob. They're going to kill you. And Vince didn't pay any mind. He's like, no, they're not. I think I'm not mistaken. I don't want to put names on it, but I think the rumor was that Bill Watts was going to put a hit out on Vince Jr.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Don't forget, the territories, the territories were financed silently by members of the see-through sock nation, for lack of a better term.
Wow.
We're being joined by Steve. Steve, welcome. Welcome to WCW Retro, man. We're talking what if tonight, man. How you doing?
How you doing, brother?
Yeah.
How you doing, Steve?
Doing good. Just listening
what
in.
What's
Steve? Chaz had some good what ifs. I thought of one when I was listening. What if Andy Kaufman had, you know, when approaching Vince McMahon Sr., would have been Sr. that took him up on his offer and worked with Andy Kaufman. Wouldn't have gotten that Jerry Lawler, David Letterman segment.
I don't think it would have been as big as it was with Lawler. I think going down to Memphis, they embraced it more than Vince Sr. would have. I think Vince would have put it on there as a one-off, and then that was it.
Right. But I'm pretty sure Vince he wanted to protect his business and not make it more sports entertainment at that time. So,
what Vern wanted to do with Sheik, Iron Sheik even mentioned this. Vern wanted him to make Hogan pay for leaving him, you know, when he went to WWE there. And Iron Sheik told him he wouldn't do it, you know, I mean, because, you know, he didn't want to have any heat with Vince.
Wow.
Yeah, I get it.
I think if Vince Sr. had worked with Andy Kaufman, I think Andy Kaufman would be in the Hall of Fame right now. Because I don't get why he's not in the Hall of Fame, other than they just didn't use him back then.
Yeah. If Vince Sr. didn't sell to his son, there wouldn't be a Hall of Fame. Because he didn't believe in it.
Wow. That's incredible. Totally incredible.
But I've often wondered if they could have got past the political beef if somehow they could have had like a working relationship with AWA and WWE down, you know what I mean, down the years.
Would have been nice, but, you know, like I said, Vince Jr. didn't care about the territories. He sure as hell didn't care about the NWA like his father did, and he would just rather get these guys out of the way and run his brand than call it a day, which he pretty much did.
If it was Senior, I think it'd be a more of a possibility. But like you said, Junior was – he had other things in mind.
Yes, he did. But you got to give him a lot of credit, though. Any guy that would put up his house against the show, against producing a show, that guy's got brass stones. You got to give him credit. I mean, WrestleMania 1, Vince mortgaged his house to put the show on.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
I give him a lot of credit. I mean, he took his stones and he laid them on the table and said, here, let's play.
Wow.
He sure did.
Wow, what a game.
The best I heard.
What a game.
I mean, that show could have tanked. It could have been, here, what if WrestleMania what if WrestleMania 1 tanked and didn't draw?
Oh, my God.
Now what?
Wow.
And it could have easily tanked. Look how much he had to finance that thing. That's the one with Liberace, right? Muhammad Ali and all that?
Yep.
All those guest appearances. Oh, my goodness.
Not to mention wrestling at that time, you know, pay-per-view was so brand new. A lot of it was still closed-circuit TV, and nobody ran on a Sunday afternoon. WrestleMania started at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. No one ran at 1 o'clock on a Sunday. Into any type
That's
of business. I mean,
crazy.
You know, NWA days, and sure, you know this better than anybody. The 1 o'clock Sunday show was the throwaway show in some small town so that the guys can get to the larger town and work the 7 o'clock show.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's crazy.
The good old days.
What if?
I miss them.
Yeah.
I miss the good old days. You know, like I said,
me too.
When cable first came out, on any Saturday, you were a kid in a candy store. You had seven different promotions you could have watched.
You're absolutely right. Of course, I was watching NWA, National Wrestling Alliance. That's what I was watching. CBS.
Man. I'll tell you a little-known show that I was watching that was always good. Was Leah Maivia's Polynesian Pro Wrestling. You caught that?
That was
on the Financial
show,
News Network.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. She ran a hell of a promotion down in Hawaii.
Here's a what if for you. You know, can you imagine if Jushin Liger was still around and what he could do for like a promotion like AEW, being they bring in, you know, top Japanese stars from time to time. and having like Fusion Liger on the Dynamite show.
I think if Brian Pillman, if Pillman Jr. wasn't under contract at MLW at the time, I think it would have been cool if they had done a Pillman Jr. Jushin Liger match on that first Dynamite.
Wow, can you imagine? Wow.
What if? What if?
Liger was at CAC sure what, 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
Yes. Yes.
They could have very easily matched him up with anybody at during the Casino Royale shows. Would have been huge.
No doubt. Oh my God, I'd grab my popcorn. What?
Oh yeah, we would all came out of the locker room for that one.
Wow.
I know. I did when he wrestled Benoit when he came to WCW and did some shots with Benoit, right? And we were all like, Brett, myself. I mean, we were all like at the monitor watching, you know.
That's crazy.
I gotta what if the All In event didn't take place? Would AEW have started, you know, with the momentum they have? Would AEW even been around if All In didn't do well?
That's a good question.
I think a lot of, like, you know, Bucks and Omega, and I think a lot of them would end up going back to New Japan, honestly.
Right.
If things didn't pan out with them.
Yeah. I think they would have been like the faces of that New Japan USA subsidiary in California.
Right. Miss Hollywood, you were gonna say what if, brother?
Yeah. What if Hulk Hogan would have never came to WCW? What if?
Oh well.
That's a big what if.
Yes, it is. That would have changed a lot of things.
I think about it. If Hogan would have stayed in WWF for life, it may not even been an NWO. I mean
yeah, it would have been interesting to see what WWE would have done with the villain Hogan. Like, how soon would Hogan turn in WWE if he had stuck around?
There might have been an NWO eventually, but
maybe.
I think we would have seen that. Like, definitely different players if Hogan wasn't involved.
Eric said if Hogan wouldn't do the turn and join NWO, that he would have had Sting in there. So you probably would have had a Sting-led NWO, which might not have been big, but it would have been a big deal for the Sting fans to see him turn.
And the thing about it, you know, like I said, the thing about it with Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, I mean, you know, I hate to say it. I mean, you know, it didn't become full circle until Hogan came to them. Because let's look here. When you know when it was Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, it was going against Steve Mossman or whatever. It didn't. None of that come into a full circle until Hogan. When Hogan came in and flipped, I mean, that's when the game changed. If you take Hogan out of the equation, you know what I mean, what would have been the outcome without a Hogan? Scott Hall and Kevin Nash.
Now Sting, you know, he would have made somewhat of an impact if he would do the turn, but Hogan was definitely the best guy for the whole deal, honestly, because the impact of him hauling Nash, that was a game changer.
It would have impacted Sting's rise too, as the Crow Sting, because he needed NWO to really elevate himself as the savior of WCW as well.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right, Steve. Because if it wasn't for NWO, it wouldn't have been the Crow Sting, the quiet Crow Sting coming from the Raptors, all black.
You know, plus, you gotta realize the shock value of Hogan turning heel hadn't been seen in, what, 20 years, 25 years?
Right.
Oh, yes. Exactly. At least.
I mean, we look back
at
it.
We'll be
adjourned
by a side caller.
Oh,
111, so brace yourself. Let's
hello,
see what this
hello,
is.
Brian.
It's like a box of chocolates here. That's okay. That's okay. Welcome to WWE Retro.
Hey.
How you doing?
Oh,
how you
Brian.
Doing? How you doing?
Welcome back, Brian. How you doing?
I'm trying to keep sane and hang in there. How y'all doing?
Wait a second.
Aren't we all?
Why do you want to keep sane? The rest of us are bad shit crazy. It's fun. You ought to join in.
Well,
come in. Come in. The water's
fine. I think
fun.
Everybody's probably crazy.
We're just
right now,
I'm what if tonight,
years
man.
Old. Terry Funk. Terry Funk was
yeah.
Once you turn 54, you're middle-aged and crazy.
That's it.
I got two. What if back in the W, when Vince McMahon was coming up with a gimmick for the guy that carried the American in the 2x4 instead of it being Hacksaw Jim Duggan, he made it Dossie. And made Hacksaw Jim Duggan the $1 million man.
Whoa, that's definitely a what if. That is definitely a what if, no doubt about it.
I don't think it would have fit. Not to be. I think Hacksaw is too rough of a guy to be a millionaire type.
Yeah, I mean, and WCW when he shaved his beard and stuff, I don't think that was good either, you know. I mean, he just wasn't seen in my eyes
a big Hacksaw what if is what if Hacksaw and Iron Sheik hadn't gotten arrested. Like, that kind of really put wrestling in a different light, and it kind of exposed the business to an extent, you know, before Vince could.
Now,
going along with that, you heard of Vince's
side. Go ahead.
No, sorry, say that again.
He said, what if Ken Patera and Mr. Saito never got caught?
Yes. That's a good one.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just gonna say the other what if I had is most interesting to say the least. What if Ric Flair was never the leader of the Four Horsemen? He was never the Nature Boy, and the Nature Boy was Curt Hennig. And Curt Hennig was the leader of the Four Horsemen. And Ric Flair was Mr. Perfect.
Well,
wouldn't have got over.
Well, in order for that to happen, Curt Hennig would have had to spend some time with the NWA, you know, for that to happen. So, and his origins was mostly, you know, with Vern Gagne and AWA, you know what I mean, mostly. So, I mean, unless something happened in the early years where Curt Hennig, you know, jumped ship, if you will.
Yeah.
I think, but, Brian, when you mentioned the $1 million man, I think Rick Rude would have been a better $1 million man than Hacksaw, but it might not have been as good as Ted DiBiase, but I think Rude could have pulled it off.
Mr. Hollywood, you were going to say something earlier?
Yeah, I had a question. I don't know if it was in WWE or WCW. It was some kind of Canadian group that I think Hacksaw was a part of. You Turned Bad. It was some kind of Canadian wrestling organization.
That was a team.
Canada.
And there was also a Team
right?
Canada over in
Team.
Well, but it wasn't the same ones.
It was Team Canada. It was Team Canada.
No,
he was a part of Team Canada.
Landstorm, Elis Dipper.
And you're talking about the other Team Canada TNA Impact back in the day.
Yeah, Bob Crew, Pete Williams.
Yeah, okay.
Scott DeVore.
Right.
He was a part of, yeah, Lance Storm of Team Canada. That's how Jim got it.
Right.
Now that was, yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Oh man, I'm digging this so far. A lot of great situations here, man. The scenarios.
Yeah, let's throw one more out. What if Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and Terry Gordy teamed up in the States?
Yeah, I think they would have been a good fit for WCW.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they would have. What year did they? I'm sure they teamed up in the 90s, right?
It was late 80s, 87, 88, out in Japan.
Late 80s. Yeah. Yeah, I think at that time they would have been great in WCW for Jim Crocker, for instance.
Yeah, now, they were mixing and matching tag teams out there.
Speaking of what ifs, I actually seen a wrestling match last night that I never knew even happened. It was Jake Snake Roberts versus Rick Steiner.
What? I didn't know that. I didn't know that before.
And it was a great match.
Man, I'm sure it was. Doesn't WWF?
No, it wasn't in WWF or WCW. It was what company was that?
Was it Bill Watts?
I don't even think it was. No, it wasn't Mid-South because Rick Steiner wasn't called Rick Steiner. He was called the last name of his son. He was called Rick and Rock Esther, that, you know, the real last name.
Yeah.
Here's one that's going to be near and dear to Stroh's heart. What if Jim Cornette never started Smoky Mountain Wrestling?
Wow.
Oh, God.
That's definitely what if.
I think he'd be.
There'd been no Robbie Eagle.
There would have been no New Jack either.
No New Jack.
I think Bullet Bob Armstrong would have
started. Oh, my God.
Wasn't it Jimmy that booked the Gangsters first?
Right, I think so.
There would have been no New Jack.
That's something to think about, yeah. A lot of us got our start in Smoky Mountain, so, gosh, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah, a lot of these WWE guys.
You know what's funny, going back to CAC's past, when it was fun, I had fans coming going, oh, you know, that Paul Lee guy, he's not a real nature boy. He's fake. He's this. He's that. And I said, oh, really? You guys don't watch Smoky? You didn't watch Smoky Mountain, did you? What do you mean? Well, Jim Cornette had the genius idea of putting Paul Lee and Buddy Landell together as the nature boys. But when you start
talking
someone's gimmick or their pedigree, know your history.
Absolutely.
True.
Absolutely. We're being joined by 843 Area Code. Welcome to WCW Retro.
Hey, I'm back.
Tim, welcome back, man. How you doing, brother?
Hey, doing good, man.
How you doing?
Yeah, man.
Speaking of,
tonight is the big what if.
Yes. Actually, I was looking up what you said about Rick Steiner and Jake the Snake. Yeah, it was back in the UWF.
UWF.
Yeah.
Okay.
UWF. Yeah. That's like the old Mid-South territory back then. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill Watts.
Oh man. Man, there's many what ifs. So yeah.
Yes. That was a great territory at one time, too.
It was.
Yeah, I wanted to follow up with what Chaz was saying. I mean, Kane, Glenn Jacobs was working before Smoky Mountain, but he credits Jim Cornette as like one of the people that helped him out, so that would have affected probably mm-hmm. Kane as well, because he also figured Kane Taker and Smoky Mountain years prior.
Yeah. You know, Stephen, like you're saying, you start talking about, you know, who gave who a shot and gave people an opportunity. What if Jimmy Cornette never put his camera down?
Yeah.
You know, what if he stayed a ringside photographer like Bill Apter? You don't have you don't have the mouth of the side. You don't have James E. Cornette. You don't have the Midnight Express. And you sure as hell don't have a Smoky Mountain.
Yes, both Cornette and Paul Heyman were originally photographers, I believe. And that would have been a big loss for Bobby Eaton, and not having Jim Cornette as mouthpiece, for sure.
Well, yeah, the weird part is there were a lot of good managers that were photographers. You had Cornette, you had Heyman, you had Scott Romer, who was Sol Creechman back on Dick the Bruiser's WWA. You had Carmine DeSpirito.
Yeah.
These guys were all photographers when they first started out. I'm the only crazy fool that decided to be a manager right off the bat.
Even Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, at one time was a photographer. His younger years.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, what if Bill Apter had done more than photography? What if he had done more commentary for like a bigger, for like a territory or a national company? Because I could see Bill Apter as a commentator or announcer or something like that.
I thought
as much traveling as Bill does, he would probably be like a Mike Tenay now.
Right. Yeah, I could see that.
But I'm with y'all, you know, talking about photographers, I'm a photographer myself. I'm going to just stick behind the camera.
I could see Apter as a backstage interviewer, you know, because he's done that for his own website. I'm surprised, you know, WCW didn't take him in, or NWA, as like, you know, a bigger on-camera personality.
You know, I know that the business was way more protected back in the 70s and 80s, but if you want to start looking at them in modern terms, the guys that wrote for PWI, The Wrestler, Inside Wrestling, that crew was one of the best creative teams ever in wrestling. I mean, you kept people on the edge of their seat in a print magazine. And some of the stories that they actually printed were not true at all. But they were entertaining as hell. So what if there were no professional wrestling magazines?
Yeah, I got to go back and try to read some of the older ones.
Now I have an interest in what if.
Yeah.
I got an interest in what if.
You had no internet back then. There was no cable,
right.
So it was local UWF channels, and you had live events. And the only way you got to learn about other territories was through the magazines. So what if there were no magazines?
Right. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
That was pretty cool.
Then
I think
would have been more
you would have to rely on tape trading alone, but you wouldn't know what to look for if you didn't have the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, even before, like I said, even before the idea of VHS and tape trading, you had your local territory, and then even before that, thank God for the actual real newspapers, because that's the only way that the game got spread around during the days of, you know, Jim Landis and Lou Fez and all those guys back in the 40s and 50s. It was either the print or you went to the matches.
Brian, you were going to say something?
Yeah. What if Ted Turner never bought WCW, and what if Jerry Jarrett, along with Dutch Mantell, bought WCW, and they were both the co-owners of WCW?
Now, who's that again? Co-owners of WCW, you said?
Jerry Jarrett and Dutch Mantell.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that'd be a very interesting situation there. What do you guys think?
I think they would have killed each other.
Right. Yeah.
Personalities like that would never have gotten along.
Oh, God.
Especially Dutch. Oh, man.
I mean, Jerry Jarrett had his hands full with Lawler in terms of direction to take a promotion or to take a territory. Dutch was more out there than Lawler could have ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess hey, I'll listen to that.
Hello?
Anyway, guys, I got to hop off. But it was a pleasure talking to y'all again. I'm definitely going to come back on next week, but I'll leave you with one more what if, but it's not a wrestling what if. It's a movie what if.
Nice.
What if C-A-T actually spelled dog? What movie?
That's a nice Nerds in Paradise reference there.
Yes.
Tremendous. Oh, that's great. Thank you, Chaz, brother. Much love, man.
Later, guys.
Take care. I can't wait to call back next week. Yeah, Chaz is always great. Yeah, gosh, you know, that's the thing. You know, Dutch Mantell, he was always a great booker, you know, and but the dynamic with him and Jerry Jarrett for WCW, oh, gosh, I can't even imagine what that would have been like. Wow.
Yeah. You know, I don't really know of another billionaire like Ted Turner or somebody out of the wrestling at that time that could have ran WCW. I mean, and you know, another person that was well known. That was a former baseball player, Hank Aaron. I mean, Jim Aaron would have been the owner of WCW. I don't know if he was a wrestler or not, but that would have been interesting.
I know he's a baseball great, but as far as wrestling goes, I really wouldn't know how that would have worked out.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd have been different. I guess he still would have been playing better than Jim Hurd.
Yeah. Now, here's another what if. And the what if that could possibly happen sometime down the road. We never know. What if over on AEW, America's Top Team, Dan Lambert. What if he comes out there one night and he's running his mouth and he says, hey, CM Punk, yeah, I'm talking to you. I don't want you to fight any of these UFC guys. I got a new American Top thing I want to introduce to you, Jason Day. What if that happened?
Jason who?
Jason David Frank. Who played Tommy on the Power Rangers.
Oh, the
he challenged
Power Rangers?
CM Punk years ago in the UFC.
Hmm. Well.
Yeah, he's like a real martial artist, bro, so that would be pretty interesting.
He's really good.
You think so?
I mean, he actually caught CM Punk out when he was in UFC, and CM Punk dodged him. He came in.
Oh,
and
I see. So there's some history there. Okay.
Yeah, Jason David Frank called out Punk like years ago for an MMA fight.
Oh,
Punk,
yes, I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh,
so, I mean,
okay.
And it's funny because I didn't watch all the Crown Jewel, but they had a Saudi karate guy on there, like an Olympic karate guy. That was pretty entertaining. Like,
yeah,
he was a silver medalist in the Olympics.
Yeah.
He was a silver medalist, yeah.
I mean, AEW has brought in celebrities before, so it wouldn't surprise me if they brought in someone like a Jason David Frank.
I don't think the crowd there didn't care who kicked Ali. He had so much heat there. It could have been anybody coming out there and kicking him. They would have cheered. Because Ali had
sure, but it was like... It was like a national hero, so that was kind of cool to have one of their guys there.
Well, so did he represent them in the Olympics? Did he represent them in the Olympics? Was that the whole story?
Yeah. He was a silver medalist for Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
I didn't know who he was either when he came out. But
yeah.
It was a pretty big deal when he got masked.
Ali was getting some great heat, man, with Mansoor there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, that was a sweet kick. I got to admit that.
do y'all know anything about whatever Russo was talking about? He said he had his final engagement or final meeting with Vince McMahon, and it ended. I don't know what he's talking about. I know.
Yahoo.
What if Dutch was an active wrestler much later than he was, like in the 2000s, 2010s? Because guys like Bryan Danielson kind of like paved the way for these indie smaller guys to kind of get popular in WWE, like Punk and Bryan. So what if Dutch Mantel had wrestled in the 2000s? Guys like the Ring of Honor guys.
That'd been good. Dutch has always been a solid wrestler, too. I mean, he was a good booker, good wrestler. I mean, he was a great hand anywhere he went. So for him to be prime, during that era, but that'd have been really cool to witness. Can you imagine the dream matches we could have had with him?
When Dutch was talking about the buy-in and Minoru Suzuki not being a draw, I was like, man, I'd love to see Dutch Mantel versus Minoru Suzuki. Two smaller guys that are just badasses.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It also would have affected Glenn Jacobs, too, because Dutch was the guy that helped out Glenn and get him, some Puerto Rico work as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Dutch told me that many times when we were in Puerto Rico together. Truth be known, Dutch helped a lot of guys out there in the business. Matter of fact, he was pushing for Scott Hall one time to be world champ.
Interesting.
And,
I wish he would have.
And Scott Hall, there was a time where Scott Hall was on the verge of getting that opportunity. So,
Right.
Yeah, I'm surprised it didn't happen in the 90s, but I think they wanted Kevin Nash as their big star, Diesel. But I think Scott could have been that guy. Yeah, it's interesting that Dutch isn't in creative or in a top position. Like, I'm surprised he's not in a Michael Hayes position where he's like an agent for a big company right now.
Yeah, me too, honestly, because he's always been a great booker, wherever he went.
Dr. Tom, what if he was working with WWE or AEW right now? I mean, he probably still would be doing that JPWA with Kane, but it'd be kind of interesting if he was, at the Performance Center or somewhere like that, or at the Rhodes Academy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they sure could use him right now, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
For both companies could use him, either AEW or WWE, honestly. I mean, he'd be great at either one.
Now, I got the craziest what-if moment yet. Y'all ready?
Lay it on us, man.
Okay. What if Triple H never married Stephanie McMahon and Hornswoggle married Stephanie McMahon and was Vince McMahon's son-in-law?
Well,
that's what I'm thinking of inside here for sure.
Right.
That would be something.
What if Ken Kennedy hadn't gotten injured and, what if Ken Kennedy had a better run in WWE? Because he could have been Vince's son. He could have won the Money in the Bank, or held that. Longer. Ken Kennedy probably would have been a bigger star had he not, been hurt and gotten the heat with Orton later on.
Yeah, he was on his way.
Interesting.
At the time, he was on his way to getting a bigger push.
And you wouldn't have gotten that Hornswoggle reveal or the with the whole Finley feud.
Just the picture of Hornswoggle marrying into the McMahon family. There is just put that together.
Oh man, I don't even know how the landscape would look because play another person, I guess. Right. Big star, but he wouldn't have been as big as Hornswoggle. He would have been Stephanie's wife. I mean, that star's a wife.
But yeah, Kennedy would have been a huge deal per se.
Right, he definitely had the charisma for sure. Believe he's still working, and I thought it was kind of cool that he was including that David Arquette documentary as well.
Yeah. Any more what ifs?
Let me think. What if there was a little bit of a switcheroo and WCW kept Steve Austin and Stone Cold Steve Austin on WCW? And then WWF, being Vince McMahon's company, brought in Goldberg with his undefeated streak.
For that to have happened, it would depend on quite a few things, actually.
For Hogan to say it, I know.
For WCW at the time, I don't think their creative process was a lot different than WWE's, and for that to happen, WCW creative would have had undergone an extreme change. Whereas, same thing applies to WWE for Goldberg, actually. So, I mean, the creative processes for both companies would have had been drastically changed on both ends for that would to have happened. But
I think Austin McMahon was a bigger deal, but I think if Austin had been in a similar role than he was in WWF, I think he could have done Austin versus NWO if Sting wasn't feuding with NWO. If he had the redneck Stone Cold, shaved head Stone Cold, like, then...
Yeah.
I think him versus NWO would have been interesting, but I don't think Goldberg would have kept the streak as long as he did in WWE. I don't think WWE wants to keep someone with that long of an undefeated streak. Look what they did with Karrion Kross. He was undefeated in NXT, and then he loses on his debut. Asuka had a good run with the streak, but then she loses it at WrestleMania. You know, the only person I think has really succeeded with the streak in WWE is Asuka, just because she was on NXT for so long.
Ronda Rousey.
That's true. They protected Ronda Rousey. Walter had a pretty good undefeated streak because he was on NXT UK. But, you know, a lot of the men
now,
don't have long undefeated streaks on WWE.
Now, as far as it may not would have been Bischoff's idea, but if they would have given Austin the leeway to repackage him under his own terms, then yes, there probably could have been a possible Stone Cold in WCW if that were to happen. But like I said, you know, like we were talking about, you know, the creative process of both companies for him and Goldberg.
Okay, I know you worked for Eric Bischoff stuff.
Right.
I want to know if this is true or not. Tony Khan mentioned yesterday, he did an interview, he said that in WCW that Eric Bischoff looked around and he told the other guys, undercard guys, even the middle card guys, he said, look, Roddy Piper, Randy Savage, and Hulk Hogan, they're the three guys that are most important in this company. And he actually... he would bury the other guys. Is that true or false?
Oh my God, where does this stuff come from? Oh Jesus, no way. I mean, he's full of it, man. Come on.
Nobody.
That's hilarious. I mean, nobody's saying anything like that though, up there, man. Shoot, that's just crazy. They've been going back and forth late, as of late, but I mean, as far as
I know that.
Brian, did you come up with that, man? Really?
No, I read it. I read that.
But give us a source.
Don't believe everything you read, man. Don't believe everything you read, really.
Wow.
No, man. Bischoff treated me great.
No. I know
that when Bischoff come on the
Brian.
On the show, and you know, we interviewed him, and I asked him about the.
I'll never finish this thought.
He said Hogan and all them didn't have no guarantee contract, so. You know, I don't know. I didn't work there. You
Brian.
Did. I don't know. You know.
Brian.
I'm just.
Brian. let me get this out there. If Stone Cold wasn't in, if Steve Austin wasn't in WCW, or if Steve Austin was in WCW in '96, you wouldn't have gotten Austin 316, which elevated him. Because you wouldn't have had him facing a religious Jake Roberts. So that would have been a big change. So I wanted to get that out there. As a follow-up to your Austin Goldberg situation.
Hall and Nash, for example, made a grand a day, whether they worked or not. So what does that say? Can you imagine making a grand a day, whether you worked or not? It's amazing. Now, I wasn't complaining with what I was getting. But there were people getting paid a lot more than I was. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I was getting paid pretty good myself. So I wasn't – no complaints there, really. And
right.
Flair, He was getting decent, but there are guys getting paid more than Flair on, believe it or not. And he'll tell you that.
Mm. Yeah, because, I mean, wasn't it who, you know, Michael Buffer? You know, well, was it a million a night or a million, you know?
Oh, you know, yeah.
Yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah.
Insane.
I mean,
but,
or,
yeah,
well,
to answer your question, Brian, no one ever told me about the whole, you know, these three guys and everybody else, you know, you get the crumbs.
I got an unlikely what if. I don't think this would ever happen,
okay.
But what if Hicks and Gracie had wrestled for the UWF in Japan?
Ooh.
Because he was challenged by Takada and one of their UWF guys to a fight, and he fought one of the wrestlers in like his dojo, and you know, was able to, you know, take care of him and, you know, brutalize him with the Japanese press, you know, capturing it after the fact. What if Hickson had, you know, been offered enough money to wrestle in Japan, and, you know, that could have led to Hickson in wrestling in the States, possibly, you know, WCW, WWE. I think if Hickson had not disliked pro wrestling,
mm-hmm.
he had been comfortable with it, I think he would have been a bigger star in the States as a, you know, even though he is one of the most legit fighters ever, though. Sorry, go ahead, Stroh.
No, I didn't mean to break the train of thought there, but
you're good.
What if we had a WrestleMania main event at one of the WrestleManias with Hulk Hogan and Junkyard Dog, two of the most popular guys at the time, going head to head for a main event at WrestleMania?
Wasn't there a Mania in Louisiana before WrestleMania 30? Could be wrong. I could be wrong about that. If they had a WrestleMania in Louisiana before WrestleMania 30, like, you know, when Junkyard Dog was wrestling, I think that would have made it even a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Because
Junkyard
Dog was a star over there.
That would be huge, yeah, because, like you said, he was mega over in that area. Even before WWE, when he was in Mid-South, I mean, he was like Bill Watson's guy, you know what I mean?
If they had done them face versus face, like with Warrior Hogan at WrestleMania 5, I think if they had done that in Louisiana, I think that would have been a big deal.
Absolutely.
That would have been a good reaction with Junkyard Dog.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just sent the quote Tony Khan to Steve so he can read over that, what I was talking about.
We believe you, Brian. It's just,
anyway,
you can't believe everything you hear, though. I mean,
oh, I know. I mean, let me tell you a funny story. You brought that up before there was ever the internet and stuff. I never will forget it. My brother cracked me up, and he kept fun of me for this for years, and he had a right to. I used to buy the WCW magazines and the magazine Pro Wrestling Illustrated and all that. Well, I bought a magazine one time, and they were talking about all these predictions, and it said that Undertaker up in WCW and powerbomb Vader, and I told my brother that. He said, "That ain't gonna happen. He said, what's wrong with you?" And I kept on looking at TV to see if it was gonna happen. He said, "Hey, you can't believe that." He said, "That's a bunch of crap. He said, that ain't gonna happen." He said, "I'm still waiting on Undertaker powerbomb Vader. Where's he at? You know, on WCW television."
Vader.
So.
Be like Kevin Nash trying to powerbomb Big Show that one time and collapse.
Yeah,
remember that?
Yeah. Or here you go. All right, Eric Bischoff's the 83 weeks. All right, that he beat Vince.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Instead of ECW invading WWF at the time, what if they invaded WCW?
It would have been interesting because they've done an invasion before, but with the NWO angle, but I don't think Paul liked WCW, and I think that's why he started ECW, is because he was so didn't have a good working experience with WCW, and I don't think Paul and Eric would have got along as well as Vince and Eric. I mean, Vince and Paul. Because Vince was funding ECW. I think if Eric was able to get ECW on their Ted Turner budget, then maybe.
Mm-hmm.
If he had been funding Paul, then that, something like that could have happened. But Vince was, secretly funding the ECW, a subsidiary, Evolve was for WWE recently.
Yeah. You know, during that time period, and if we're talking about Forbidden Doors and everything,
mm-hmm.
if you think about Brian Pillman, really was way ahead of his time with that, because he appeared in literally all three promotions with WCW, ECW, and then WWE. You know what I mean? When he was doing the whole over the edge type.
Yeah, Loose Cannon.
Persona. Mm-hmm. He was doing. Yeah. And, I mean, he literally appeared in all three promotions, if you think about it. And that was, way ahead of its time, honestly, as far as, for appearing, Forbidden Doors, that type of thing. So I really thought at the time he broke new ground, and set the stage.
Yeah, I think the only one comparable, I think, is Austin when he worked in ECW, because he was kind of talking about behind the scenes, mm-hmm. How about he wanted to push in WCW and it just didn't happen. I think the only person close to Pillman in that getting, a lot of the attention, after leaving WCW would probably be Austin. Before, that was kind of like the first version of Stone Cold there when he shaved mm-hmm. his head there.
Right.
Now, here's another what-if moment.
Okay.
What if, and this is two different what if moments. What if he that army tank, the Nitro, from the arena, they let Triple H and all them drive right down the arena and invade Nitro,
Virginia.
WWF.
I think it was the Coliseum, and I think they're coming from the North Scope, is what I believe.
Yeah.
What if they? Yeah, that Brian, that is a big one. You just won the night. What if they let them in? That would have been a big one. JBL talked about that. JBL talked about that with Road Dogg, and he said, "What if Haku and Ming and Ken Shamrock and Matt, in a fight situation like that?"
And here's another what if that I don't. Like it's ever been discussed. What if when Road Dogg, which was Jesus, for the other TNA stars, when they were in Orlando, Florida, and they showed up at WWE and Rey Mysterio Jr. was out there without a mask on and some of the other WWE stars, what if they showed up and TNA let them through and WWE invaded TNA?
I think TNA.
I mean, let me rephrase that. TNA invaded WWE. There we go.
It probably would have been an ECW situation, in the 90s when they're probably using them as a farm league, to be honest.
Yeah, now what I heard was that when they were closing the door for Triple H and them, as they were coming up to the door, I had heard that there was actual wrestlers behind the door wanting to, you know, jump them when they came in, but management said to close the door.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure Eric, after the fact, really wanted them in there for TV, but in the moment, yeah, they were told to close the door on them.
Yeah.
And I actually heard another story as well. I heard that McMahon actually would have shut up and wrestled Eric Bischoff when he challenged him on pay-per-view after McMahon's graduation, so he couldn't be there.
Hmm.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah. Because they're going to challenge him on wrestling contest. I would have to go with Vince on that one.
Right,
you know, here's one for you guys. And I've always often wondered if, if this could have happened, could have actually happened, if the Great Muta would have had a run with WWE during his prime.
Right. Yeah, that is something I've asked Bruce Pritchard in person, and he just was saying that Muta didn't want to come in, didn't want to learn English. And, well, I mean, the English thing, you could have had him with a manager. You could have had him with a cornet, like they did with Yokozuna, or Gary Hart.
Yeah.
Bring in Gary Hart. Like, WWE could have afforded him. WWE.
Right. Oh, can you imagine? Oh, can you imagine the heat they would have got? Gary Hart and Muta. Oof.
I think Muta would have gotten over to the point where they would have had to turn him face. They would have had him kind of be like their Oriental Muta, Asian Ultimate Warrior type, or
right.
Where he just was so colorful and, and the martial arts.
Oh man,
the mystique.
I think he
could have been their warrior.
Alone. Right.
Yeah.
The merchandise alone. Being a millionaire. He would be a hit. Merchandise.
They could have made masks with the, the design of his face paint. They could have made masks with his face paint design.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Could you
been amazing.
Imagine Abdullah the Butcher had a run with the WWE and he feuded with the Undertaker in that set match of Mankind?
I don't think Abdullah the Taker would have great matches. Abdullah the Butcher and Undertaker.
If that would happen to Abdullah, there goes IcoPro, the World Bodybuilder.
Abdullah had a really bad match with Zeus in Puerto Rico, but I think Abdullah would have been good during the 80s period. And you could have brought him in to do a one-shot with Hogan. I think Bruiser Brody and Abdullah would have been the perfect opponents for Hulk Hogan during the 80s.
Well,
no doubt.
When it was about larger than life characters.
I think in Abdullah wrestle in person, he fought Tommy Rich. His legs, he's not able to get around too much, and he the whole match wrestled outside the ring. He didn't even get in the ring. I mean, with him busting open Tommy, and Tommy was busting open everything. And then Abdullah finally got ran off Abdullah didn't ring at all. And Abdullah's left was also got what his name was.
I think the big one would have been
manager. I can't remember his name.
The big what if for me would have been Abdullah and Bruiser Brody versus Hulk Hogan at any point during Hogan's heyday. I think that would have been
great. I'd love to see that.
Didn't Abdullah fight?
I hadn't seen
that. He fought him over in Japan. I think he fought him over in Japan.
Possibly.
Now, as far as Bruiser Brody, I don't think they believed it. I believe Hogan and Abdullah wrestled over. I believe I've never seen that. Just like mood holders.
Is there a... guys have been great tonight, man. Man, it's just like... you know, these what if scenarios, we can't get enough of it. I mean, the past few weeks have been great.
Brian.
And I think we can go one more week. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Brian,
yeah,
you're right.
So many.
Brian, you're right. It did happen in Japan, but what if it happened in the other half is my what if.
Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
I do. But talk about diet. I never knew that.
But if it's all right with you guys, we'll continue this on next week with the what ifs. Man, a lot of good stuff here. You guys got anything you got like to plug real quick?
I don't have anything coming up soon, which I'll have more next week. I'm just going to a show this weekend in Georgia. It's so big that they actually moved it outside at a ballpark. So, you know, me personally, I can't wait to go this weekend. But yeah, like I said, definitely for next week, I'll have a list of, you know, upcoming shows, so, you know, happening around, you know, North Carolina and Georgia, stuff like that.
Oh, great. Okay. Thank you, Tim. Any more plugs, guys?
I don't have a plug, but I do have a special prayer request. My mom went Tuesday to have her heart, and everything came back good. Tonight she started feeling bad. Her stomach started hurting, and her back started. She went to the doctor this morning. They said diverticulitis again. The pain still hurting, and better she did, but she still don't feel too good. She got to go Monday to see the gastroenterologist again, and then after that, she got to wait 4 weeks after it's been current diverticulitis she has to have Cohen and try to find out what's going on with her, but. Just your prayers. And also, I have a request also for my Art Merrow and his brother Joel Merrow. I don't know if y'all heard or not, but Joel Merrow's 14-month-old grandson died in his sleep, and I'm devastated, right? And all the prayers they can get. That is the brother Mark Marrow.
I got a what if that can't wait for next week. What if the brood had lasted longer than it did in the movie? Because I think they would have gotten super, super big. You know, you probably wouldn't have gotten the comedy Edge and Christian right away, but Gangrel probably would have been a bigger star had Brood been around longer and he had been wrestling more in that trio instead of doing the Ministry of Darkness, combination with Brood. I think their entrance alone would have been a bigger, you know, they would have been good merch sellers, I think.
Interesting.
I mean, because Edge, he brought that Brood entrance back, you know, for that SummerSlam, and that was a big deal this year because Gangrel was almost about to get booked, and I think it would have been interesting for sure if they had Brood versus Ministry, and they had like an Undertaker Gangrel feud with WWE. I think that would have been cool. But, plugs, I'm looking forward to UEW, United Elite Wrestling, on November 13th. Also looking forward to AEW in Norfolk on the 17th. So November is going to be a fun month. I was really happy to went to a local jiu-jitsu seminar with world champion Margo, Nomadic Mars. So that was pretty cool, getting to learn some of that with her in class. And, yeah, just looking forward to wrestling next month. And also got to catch up on G1 Climax. I believe it finished today. And big return of one of my favorites, Shibata, happened this morning. So I'm going to go back and watch that. But thanks for having me on. I'm talking about wrestling on What If. Looking forward to retro next week.
I've got one more What If that was in the Steve's that cannot wait to next week. I just happened to.
Okay, go
what
ahead.
What if? Okay, what if the Brood get Gangrelation stayed together, and Vince McMahon brand Vampiro, Shaggy Two Dope, Jaden, Stan Clown, possibly all six of them had a feud with each other.
Oh, the Dark Carnival.
In WWE or WCW?
Yeah, and it's a Dark Carnival.
Because they had the Oddities, so maybe if they'd gotten Vampiro, they signed Vampiro, maybe that could have happened. Vampiro and Gangrel don't get along, personally, even though Gangrel is over it. Yeah, there's some beef between them, and it's mostly from Vampiro's side, but he's addressed it on YouTube. But I think if they were able to work together in WWE, I think that could have been an interesting feud for sure. Vampiro, Gangrel.
You say something for next week, okay?
Oh yes. I don't have any more what else, but I was just gonna mention it's kind of funny to me how some of the guys don't get along, but they're at the conventions together. I guess it's just because
that's a wrestling
vendor,
buddy.
To be there. Even though
they
don't get along. Well, get along, so.
Both are cool. But yeah, I've heard Gangrel talk about it. What were we gonna say? Tim?
Well, I was just told from someone here on Facebook to mention, I don't mean to, go off your November 13th event, but I was told to mention this because since I'm on here, to mention it too. Saturday, November 13th, PWF, mm-hmm. we're having an event in Clover, South Carolina at Clover High School. And, Stro, you'll like this. We're going to have Rock and Roll Express,
nice.
Baby Doll, Perfect 10, Baby Doll.
Oh, wow.
We're going to have Cold Off Dynasty with Nikita,
mm-hmm.
and a good old friend, wrestling legend, referee Tommy Young.
Fantastic. What a card.
Yes. So that's Clover High School, Saturday the 13th, for PWF or Patriot Wrestling Federation.
Fantastic. Well, that's great. If you guys in the area, November, man, check them out. That's from Becky, Tim. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you guys as always. You guys make the show as always. Thank you so much. Be sure to catch the archives of tonight's show on VOCNation.com. Look for WCW Retro and What If. We're going to be tuning my What If series next week, as well as next week's going to be our Halloween special here on WCW Retro. So looking forward to that. So tell your friends, family, fans, everybody, come join us next Thursday night. It should be a lot of fun. And with that, you guys have a great rest of the week, weekend, and we'll leave out with some Midnight Express. Have a great one.